the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
All right, checking in at
number 5.
In Virginia, Democratic congressional hopeful Daniel Helmer has garnered national attention in a crowded race, which candidates often vie for any scrap of attention to break out of the pack. Now, unfortunately, it may not be the kind of attention that he was looking for. He's an Iraq War veteran, released a campaign ad against Barbara Comstock, parodying the movie Top Gun. Helmer sings a version of the 1960s pop standard You've Lost That Love and Feeling. Remember that from, from Top Gun? Awkward. Lyrical interlude moment.
Yes.
It's the worst campaign ad of the 2018 season, so said, so far.
But Barbara, Barbara, you know it. You've lost that centrist feeling. Cause you've been right-wing appealing. We've lost that loving feeling. Now it's gone, gone, gone. You've got to go.
I'm Dan Helmer. I approve of town halls, bad singing, and this message.
Oh my gosh, that is terrible. What's that ad motto? If you have nothing to say, sing it. It's kind of what that reminds me of there.
Oh God. Oh God.
But it's getting attention, so.
Yeah, we played
he
it.
He needs that.
You've lost that centrist feeling. I really hope the Everly Brothers just sue the crap out of them for that. All right, checking in at
number 4.
President Trump says he's considering holding a 4th of July parade on Pennsylvania Avenue or in front of the White House showcasing America's military strength. His inspiration for the military parade came after a visit with French President Emmanuel Macron earlier this year as he visited the country during a Bastille Day festivity, which tout armed service strength. Trump explained his military parade idea at the United Nations press conference.
But I witnessed we may do something like that on July 4th in Washington, down Pennsylvania. I don't know. We're going to have to try and top it. But we had a lot of planes going over. We had a lot of military might. And it was really a beautiful thing to see. They had representatives from different wars and different uniforms. It was really so well done. But I came back, and one of my early calls were, I think we're going to have to start looking at that ourselves. So we're actually thinking about 4th of July, Pennsylvania Avenue, having a really great parade to show our military strength.
You know, countries that have to do those military parades do it because they're insecure about their strength. They do it to prove to their own people and to prove to the world that they're mighty. And most often, the run by dictators who want to see these kinds of things.
Kim Jong-un. Case in point, he has such parades.
Correct. It is often a. It is to me one of my most proud things about America is that we don't have to do that. We know what our strengths are. We know the world knows what our strengths are, and we don't need to have a guy get a basically a mental erection over the fact that he's the commander in chief and standing in front of those sorts of things like some other crap kicker nation in this country, in this world, I should say. I mean, that is just amazing to me. And it's just, it's so beneath the dignity of the United States. That's what really troubles me about this era, is that we're giving in to all the mechanics and rhetorical flourish and all the stupid things that failed potentates and dictators from around the world have suffered, and we're this guy's walking blissfully into it because of his own ego and his desire to show that his missile's bigger than your missile.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really ridiculous. You know, the Soviets used to do it because they were afraid, and it turned out it was a toy, right? You find out is that when these guys go out and they parade these things, they're often missile canisters and not the missiles themselves. Or they're dummies, or whatever the case is. Or you can, there have been infamous cases of air crashes at these things. I mean, there's no upside to who are you showing what to?
Well, I think he gave a little bit of indication that when he says what I saw in France, he was very complimentary of it. What I witnessed, something was that was so great, and we're going to have to try to top it, is what he said. We're
top
spending
it?
Over $700 billion on our military, and good news for you, France, because we're friends, is what he told Macron.
Yeah, well, we don't have to prove France. We're not going to invade France.
I know.
We don't have to prove anything to them.
We don't have to try to top the French.
I mean, come on. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
All right. You're three, you're two, and you're one. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
The USS Indianapolis found after 72 years. Hear reaction from Illinois' only living survivor. Tonight's cover story, WGN-TV News at 9.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. The top five continues. We're up to
number three.
Dear friends, the next time the world's problems make you feel the blues, turn on any channel, well, except the news, because troubles aren't so troubling when you see them in HD. The world's a little better on TV.
69th Primetime Emmy Awards last night.
Yes.
Microsoft Theater in L.A. You had your Stephen Colbert hosting, and there was a surprise moment.
There was.
Right in the beginning when he was talking about how big the audience was going to be on television and who rolled out using a White House podium but the Sean Spicer.
What really matters to Donald Trump is ratings. You got to have the big numbers. And I certainly hope we achieve that tonight. Unfortunately, at this point, we have no way of knowing how big our audience is. I mean, is there anyone who could say how big the audience is? Sean, do you know?
This will be the largest audience to witness an Emmys, period, both in person and around the world.
Wow, that really soothes my fragile ego. I can understand why you'd want one of these guys around. Melissa McCarthy, everybody, give it up.
I didn't understand all the outrage. I mean, I didn't agree with the outrage on this whole thing. I felt like he was poking and fun at himself and even the president. And he gave an interview to the New York Times today saying, I regret even talking about the crowd size in the way I did. I was wrong.
Yeah, I thought it was a great moment, a brilliant moment. And it is, and it finally a commentary that takes some of the, that makes it less scary. Because it turns out that what we knew at that moment, and what we're going to learn as this continues on, is that, you know, the people even around the president think he's as much of a goof as the people who, you know, the people who are close. Listen, the president appeals to a certain mindset in America, and it's becoming an increasingly specific mindset. And that mindset is really about him and people who are just fans of his style. They want a pugilist. They want a guy who's going to be tough and say all the tough stuff and make everybody feel better, by saying things that are about as real as a dreamsicle, right?
I think many people believe in his vision for jobs and the economy, and that's a central issue.
Well, they believe
vote about, and they're willing to overlook some of the other personality defects for that.
Well, but he doesn't have any plans for the jobs. There are no concrete plans. He says he gives you an idea of what he would like, but we would all like it. He wants chocolate pudding and Chinese food. I get it. That's what he does. But that's not. But you have to somehow get to it here. So Sean Spicer coming out there last night, I thought was brilliant, and it does make you feel better. Like, okay, at least Sean Spicer got it.
Yeah, he's making fun of himself and even the president. I would say by saying, you know what, that wasn't the whole crowd size thing. It was a little ridiculous. And he even gave an interview today, like I said, regretting that he characterized things the way he did then. So he's just being part of it. But there's so much outrage about people saying now Hollywood's trying to embrace this man who lied on behalf of the president. It's making a little too much out of it. It's just he was poking fun at the whole thing. And Stephen Colbert even said, I knew that this would lead to that, and I still thought it would be worth the comedic effort of doing it.
But since President Donald Trump got in office, Stephen Colbert has just lost it. He's like so...
It's all
sad.
Politics.
He seems so sad and just like crazy about the whole situation.
What are you talking about?
Like his satire just turned into like madness.
Well,
he's obsessed with it.
What is interesting is that Sean Spicer, you wonder what the president's reaction to all of this is.
Mm-hmm.
Did he didn't react on Twitter to it,
didn't
right?
see that directly, but people were retweeting his tweet from a few years ago about the Emmys and how it's all political.
Right.
And that The Apprentice didn't win and that was wrong.
Right. That even came up in a debate where he said that the Apprentice should have won an Emmy. And mm-hmm. again, it's about the politics of personality as opposed to getting things done. Checking in at
number two.
One day after the Bears lost 29-7, here's Coach Fox.
You know, I think, you know, it's something that is, you know, is upstairs we talk about every day. You know, I think, you know, we had a pretty good feel of what we were doing to start with, and we still feel pretty good about that moving forward with Mike being the guy.
Mike Glennon being the quarterback.
Glennon's our quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Glennon's our quarterback.
Coach, what about Mitch Trubisky next week?
You know, we're playing, you know, probably, you know, arguably one of the better teams we're going to play this year, this week at home. So, you know, we're going to do everything in our power to, you know, look a little bit more like we did in week one than week two. You know, it gives us a chance.
Translation, we don't want our rookie quarterback to get killed by the Steelers.
Actually,
or Kev, the Packers.
What it meant was smush like a bug.
Right, okay. Yeah. Killed, maybe an exaggeration.
Yeah. Well, so maybe not.
Best guess, Kevin, you're saying later in the season?
My guess before the season was week seven.
Week five.
Week five?
That's a Monday night game against the Vikings.
Ooh, Monday night, I don't know.
Week seven's a noon game under the radar against the Panthers at home.
Mm-hmm.
You guys think I'm going to be around for that?
No. I don't know, Coach. Yeah.
Okay. Me
good
either.
Luck.
Someone else's decision.
Yeah. Should I call a Washington Post reporter and do an interview and get fired?
Go for it.
Suicide by reporter.
It does seem to work if you're in the White House. I know about the Bears.
Just forget to say it's off the record.
Yeah. Call the Green Bay Gazette and do an interview.
I really like this team alive. Green Bay's really good. I'm a fan.
Should do something like that.
A cheesehead, walk around with one of those cheeseheads.
Yeah, you should show up at the game with a cheesehead on. That'll get him fired.
Yeah. I'm with them.
All right.
Or he could scream out that what play they're going to run.
Yeah.
This is the quarterback option. Defend for it.
All right. They even run the quarterback. You couldn't even run the quarterback option with Mike Glennon. Nah. Who am I kidding?
But he might call that play. Godspeed, Coach Fox.
Thank you.
Checking in at, and finally,
number one.
All right. Boxing world is in disgust over what happened on Saturday night. There was a draw in a major, gigantic pay-per-view event. It was Triple G, that Golovkin guy, against that Canelo Alvarez. And then there was like a mystery judge who somehow gave the match to Alvarez, which caused the draw. And Stephen A. is having none of it.
Uh-oh. Stephen A. is having none of it.
Hold on. Teddy Atlas went berserk. Teddy Atlas. Was it with Stephen A?
Yes.
Oh, it's both of them. Yes, that's what
They're
I thought.
Both going berserk.
Here's Teddy Atlas.
There's no oversight board in boxing. There's no commission. There's no national commission. No federal guidelines. Nobody looking and saying, can't do that. Can't do that. You can't be in charge. Promoter can't be in charge of who the judges are going to be. No, of course you want these judges. We're going to oversee it. We're going to police it. We're going to make sure that there's no corruption. There's nothing. There's everywhere else in the garment business, there's corruption. But there's an oversight in the Wall Street. There's corruption, but there's an oversight,
and there's consequences. Calm down.
Stephen A. is telling him to calm down.
Tells you to calm down. We have a problem. It's a very odd circumstance there, man.
Sportsbooks were forced to issue refunds. Long lines at sportsbooks after this.
What happens
a lot of
in a draw, then? You get a refund? Is that standard?
Yes,
essentially. I mean, it's obviously something weird was going on here. people were not happy. The lines were long immediately following the fight at sports books.
It's a great sport. It's the greatest sport of all. This is the sport, the one sport, where on any given night, a kid from anywhere, from dirt floors to where he was from a country that he didn't have the rights, he didn't have money, he had nothing but poverty, he didn't have parents, he didn't have anything. But he had it in his chest, in his heart, to work hard, to get in that ring, to be ready, to be trained. And on one given night, he can have his hand raised and be called champion of the world and make life fair, make the world fair. It's the only sport that can do that. The sport is beautiful, but the administrators of the sport, they stink.
Wow. Somebody's making a big deal of that.
All right. Let's close this thing up, shall we? That's how I feel about the world.
The top five at five.